This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, it's springtime. I got a spring in my step.
Yeah, but it's cold outside. It's too windy. It's too cold.
Tom, we don't have to start every episode talking about the weather.
You did it. You started it.
What?
You said it's spring outside. There's a spring in my step. And I said, no,
I said
there's
it's
not.
Springtime. Yeah. There's a spring in my step.
Yeah, but there shouldn't be, Tim. It's still cold out.
Eh.
Put that spring back in your step. I mean, take it out of your step, right?
Well, you know, you want a spring in your
take
step when it's cold so you can get to your
those
destination.
Springs off your Tim, I've been telling you for years, it's dangerous. Take those springs out of your shoes.
Tom, did I ever tell you this about me? And I know you're going to be like, ooh, but like, I think cold weather, like when it's cold, when I get cold, it's worse than when like other people get cold. I think I feel it worse.
Now, do you think it's because like your body is different or that you're mentally weak?
No, I think it's I'm so mentally strong that like I'm attuned
Wait,
to it.
I don't understand.
It's like, oh man, like I'm really feeling this cold because
I don't understand how that
such
would...
extra processing power in my brains to process.
So
how
a lot
cold
you're
this
saying
is.
A lot of people don't realize how cold it is because
they're
stupid.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
It's like their brain doesn't have the, it like overheats. So it's like, yeah. It's,
even when it's cold,
fine.
It overheats.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah. And that might keep them warm in a way too.
You would think that would keep everything just kind of chugging along, but all right. Well, let me tell you, Tim, I've been, as you mentioned, it's springtime. I've been dealing with mice in my house.
There's a mouse in your house.
There's mice in my house. Because there's multiple. I hope not.
Is it because you live in squalor?
It's because I live in squalor. It's because I have a lot of cheese all over the floor all the time because I'm very messy with my cheese.
I do.
It's
have,
on
like,
me. I like crumbly cheeses.
Today I dropped something in my kitchen and I went to pick it up and there was like cheese that I had dropped on the floor like 3 days ago there.
Be careful. That's when the mice attack.
Yeah. Well. I picked it up,
but I feel like I'm getting like desensitized to death because of these mice.
Okay. Well, that's not a bad thing.
I guess it's not a bad thing. Cause like
you're
I start
becoming like a Buddhist.
Yeah. Well, it's also that I started off like, all right, like humane traps, catch and release. And then it got to a point of like, I don't care anything. Right.
Smash them to bits.
I bought one of those robot cats from the Tom and Jerry cartoon.
From the Acme Corporation.
Yeah. No, but
the sharp metal teeth.
Yeah. Caught four mice. Three have perished. One was released into the wild.
Where did you release it?
Rehabilitated and released into the wild. Where was it released?
Yeah.
Into the hallway of my apartment building. I took it down the block to where there's like an empty lot.
Oh, okay.
And put it in the empty lot.
Huh.
And it ran into.
Did you like look around like suspiciously or cautiously before you let them? Like, how did you carry this mouse down the street?
So it was in the trap, but the trap was
what
in.
What type of trap was it?
It just like a little like clearish plastic box that like it goes in
it goes up and like when, a little ramp and then the ramp closes behind it or something.
Yeah, kind of it yeah. Like snaps shut so it yeah. Can't get back out.
That is crueler than just killing it.
No, not when you're gonna let it go. I think it's kind of like, oh shit, like this sucks, but it was fine, you know. I let it out and it lived another day.
Did it thank you?
It did thank. It tipped its. It was wearing a hat. Did I mention that? Yeah, it was wearing a little hat. Well, I had made it a little hat. It tipped its hat to me. But then the other three were snap traps, which is gross. Mm-hmm. And one in a glue trap, which was very...
That's the worst.
I know. That was when I got to my lowest of just like, I can't deal with this anymore. I
this is too many mice, by the way.
I know it's too many mice. That's why, Tim, I swear to God, last week I was going crazy. I wasn't sleeping. I was like up all night.
You also have a bed that's low to the ground.
No. The bed we have now is higher up.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen your bed.
No, if anything, it was, I was like,
hey, you mind if I go check out your bed real quick?
Anything. Yeah, you know, we should be on the same page about how close my bed is to the ground. That's my oversight.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
I got a new bed 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably about when I got my new bed.
Pandemic era.
Yeah.
It's a pandemic bed.
Yeah, I was like, well, I'll be spending a lot of time in this bed. Yeah,
I got it. And when I got it, I was like, oh, no, this bed is too high. This bed is way too high.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking as I was getting out of bed this morning, I've grown accustomed to this high bed. This feels like a normal height. And I haven't thought about how high I was in years at this point.
That's what happens. And now every morning you drop out of your bed.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a little base of pillows you put down so that kind
of
takes...
When I sit on the edge of it, what's that? Was that Gilda Radner that's out in that big rocking chair? That's what
and
I do.
You have your legs dangling over. Mm-hmm. But the sticky trap made sure they did not stay down like when we were out of the house or anything like that. And I was like checking them constantly.
But what happens? It gets stuck to it.
Yeah. And then it can't go anywhere.
Yeah. But you can't remove it either, right?
No, I put it in a garbage bag and then stepped on the garbage bag.
What?
Yeah.
What?
What? That's more humane, Tim.
I know you murdered it.
I know, but I had to. I wasn't going to let it suffer.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it did suffer for a little bit, but I didn't want it to. Yeah. That's how bad things got.
Just have a man take care of it for you, Tom.
No, but that's why I think I did buy an electric trap now, a zap trap.
A zap? I've never even heard of that. You have a dog.
Yeah, I know. The dog doesn't do shit. The dog...
No,
she...
but does the dog go to the zap trap and
get zapped? No. It's a zap trap for mice only. Okay. It's like, again, it's like another little tube.
Should we zap each other with it? See what happens?
I think it would really hurt. I mean, it zaps hard enough to kill a mouse.
A mouse is 1/100 the size of me.
All right, if you want to try the zap trap, Tim,
go get the zap trap.
You're going to have to like stick your finger in it because like it is built to be somewhat safe so that somebody doesn't accidentally do it. We're going to have to override some of the safety features.
That's fine.
But
does
that,
it plug in?
No, AA batteries. Right.
There's nothing battery powered.
I know you think that, but I think it could really zap you. I think
Let's
it could really
see.
Hurt. No, I don't want to see. I don't want you breaking.
Let's have a zap off.
No, Tim, this week there's a different challenge happening later in the episode. The Pepsi challenge will be happening on this podcast. Brought to you by us, not brought to you by Pepsi, but by us.
I took the Pepsi challenge back in the 90s, Tom.
Yeah, do you remember how you fared?
That's funny, it was at a fair.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds like the kind of thing it would be.
Yeah.
Did you do it just because you want free soda?
No, I wanted the, you could get a Pepsi card, remember?
Oh,
like a
membership
card.
I completely forgot about those. I wanted that membership card
so
badly.
You should have gone to the Beautification Society Fair.
Yeah, I would have if I had known. I think
I
tried to mail away.
I also entered a pie eating contest.
Gee, Tim, this sounds like a hell of a day.
I know.
How'd you do in the pie eating contest?
I don't think I got very far. I was upset that like you couldn't use your hands.
Yeah, well, it's for everybody's entertainment.
I know. I felt objectified. I felt like there were perverts there. Like
there absolutely were perverts there. Back in the 90s, every Sunday, the perverts would open up the classified section. Oh, let's see if there's any pie-eating contests in town this upcoming week.
The classified section.
Yeah. Well, that's how you get contestants.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, you were talking about killing mice with your bare hands.
No, it wasn't my bare hands, but I'm done talking about mice, because like I said, I think I got rid of all the mice. Okay. I think, I hope.
God. Yeah, I hope so, too.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, I honestly, for like a week and a half, I haven't been right because of all this going on.
It's also like, oh, we've had a part, like, you live in New York City, but like, one, maybe two mice.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Well, I think part of this was didn't realize that they had gotten into a 15-pound bag of Ginger's food. We have her food in the closet in the bag, and then we like empty that into like a Tupperware thing. That's what we, you know, serve her out of into the bowl. So we don't look at this bag very often.
Right.
And then when, you know,
she get a steel cage for that bag.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was like after I got the first mouse and I was like, all right, I caught the mouse. And then there was still, I was
just
still
put a bunch
them.
Of rat poison in that food bag.
No. Well, that's, I did not want to use rat poison because then they'll just die. I mean, it's dangerous and they could just die somewhere and stink. When we had an apartment together, don't you remember we had a mouse once and then we caught it and we didn't realize it was in the trap and we were like, what the hell smells so bad in here? It took us like
several
weeks.
Yeah. In my existence. But I'm surprised you brought that up because there was one in your room, which was a freaking pigsty.
Yeah, I think that's where the dead mouse might have been. I think maybe that's why it smelled bad.
And you said, one night you woke up and it was under your bed eating something.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, Tom, that's why you shouldn't keep food in your room when you go to sleep. And you said, no, it probably brought that in from the kitchen.
Yeah.
So it went and picked itself a plate. It was like, let me head into Tom's room. And
because it knew it wouldn't be bothered in my room. And look, I had to keep food under my bed or else you'd find it.
That's true. Sniff that out like a bloodhound.
But anyway, it was after
remember
I
the
got
Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah, that was my favorite band.
I know,
in the aughts.
They sang very funny songs.
Don't, Tim. I went down a deep rabbit hole on the Bloodhound Gang recently. I can't get started on them. We have to talk about Pepsi. Tim, this week we're talking about Pepsi because we've talked about Coca-Cola.
Yeah, and equal time laws.
And the
compel us to talk about
the
Pepsi
executives at Pepsi got in touch with our higher ups, and they said, "Hey, this is bullshit. They've got to do a show about Pepsi too." Pepsi.
This actually, the folks over on the Discord were talking about Pepsi.
Yeah, what were they saying about it? Only good things, I hope.
Well, no, and somebody asked, like, have Tim and Tom ever done an episode on Pepsi? Because they had learned some facts that I'm sure we'll share in a more entertaining way than these non-broadcasters.
Right. They're just typing things.
Yeah.
We're saying
we
them
have
out
to say
loud,
them
which is
our,
harder.
With our mouths. Mm-hmm. What's the word? Mouths.
There's that.
Talking isn't just mouths, though.
There's that. What was it? 8 years you went to broadcast school?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can tell.
And 16 years of charm school.
Right. Well, you kept getting left back. It was a 1 year school.
Yeah. and tap and jazz. As well.
Right. Yeah. Which you'd
be remiss if I didn't.
Yeah. Which you did excel at.
Is it too late for me to learn how to tap dance?
Nah, they got tap dancing classes for old people, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
You're going to have to go take... I mean, the problem is you're either going to have to go take tap dancing classes with people a lot younger than you or a lot older.
Yeah.
You're not going to find 40-year-old introductory
tap
dance.
And not even
dance.
Like, oh, yeah, like 25. Like, it's like 6-year-olds or 85-year-olds.
Right.
Yeah.
Or 85-year-olds that used to know how to do tap dancing and have now forgotten and want to be taught again.
Right.
Tim, you mentioned, you mentioned it before the show, not during the show, that Pepsi didn't used to always be called Pepsi.
Yeah, this is what one of the Discord people said.
Oh, was it? Yeah. It used to be called Brad's Drink. What a shit name.
Yeah, just because the son from Home Improvement invented it?
I don't think that was, Tim, I don't think that was the case. It was in 1893, Caleb Bradham, a pharmacist from North Carolina.
It wasn't, you would expect his first name to be Brad.
Yeah, well, who's Brad?
But was anyone named Brad in 1892?
I mean, they must have been. That's a name that comes and goes.
Brad. There's no founding father that's like
Bradley. John Bradley.
What, last name or yeah. Bradford or a Bradham.
Yeah, Bradley. I was going to say Bradley Cooper. He was one of the founders.
He's a modern man, Tom.
Yeah, he is a modern man. He's a modern Renaissance man.
Yeah, but he's got timeless you know, looks.
Good looks, yeah. Mm-hmm, for sure. I'd like to meet him one day. Seems weird.
He does. Do you ever see that Wet Hot American Summer documentary?
Yeah.
Where he's like bragging about like, I just graduated from acting school at NYU and I graduated yesterday and already I have a role in a feature film. And it's like, yeah, it's a good movie, but also like, that's not really a movie, man.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is such a random that has like so many funny people and then Bradley Cooper, also a very young Bradley Cooper, who is funny, but does not, it seems like when left to his own devices, does not lean towards comedy.
Right.
Which I think is interesting.
Yeah, he leans towards trying to win awards.
Yeah. And putting fake noses on. But anyway, it's called Brad's Drink. Pharmacies back then, it was all happening there, huh?
Yeah.
You know, that was like the soda shop. They would go to the pharmacy for everything.
Because there were like three stores. There was like the butcher, the pharmacist, and the dentist. But the dentist was also like the doctor.
Yeah. Or you would have a, what do you call those? Like a
apothecary?
Or like a general store.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would think that the soda would be at the general store, not the pharmacy.
But
a lot of people thought soda was medicine. Unfortunately, that view has gone out of style.
I mean, you take it like it's medicine.
Yeah. Initially, Pepsi was marketed as a digestive aid, an energy booster, claiming to cure dyspepsia, which is indigestion, and boost vitality. It did that by having caffeine and sugar in it, I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure it made people feel great. It must
have. Do you ever say, I'm dyspeptic?
Oh, I forgot that that's like an old man thing to say.
Yeah. Do you ever take Tums?
I know. I don't like the chalk thing. I don't like. I'll take Pepto-Bismol, which is close to Pepsi-Bismol.
Yeah. I took Tums. Tom, remember those hot dogs I was really excited about?
Oh, no. Yeah, they didn't sit well.
I finally ate them last night. I had two of these hot dogs.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to disparage the impossible, but like I prefer just a standard veggie dog.
But you were feeling very dyspeptic afterwards.
Yeah, I took some Tums to help my Tums very much.
Settle everything down.
Yeah, help my tum-tum.
Yeah. Well, you're a big guy who doesn't think any kind of medicine works, right? Or anything over the counter you think is like snake oil.
Yeah. I still think that.
But the Tums did help.
The Tums worked. But like the Tums is like, that's not like medicine.
Yeah, it is. It's alleviating a medical condition.
It's just chalk cut into little discs.
It's just chalk cut into little discs. You've said this about ibuprofen too, that like you're like, it's all a placebo effect. And then someone recently told me about taking ibuprofen when you had a headache and you were like, this shit's like a miracle. My headache went away.
Yeah. Isn't it nice to keep some awe, some wonder in your life, Tom?
Yeah, but this is what I imagine. And I think I've even been in this situation with you where I've been somewhere with you where you've been complaining about having a headache, and I've said, why don't you take some ibuprofen? I have some, and you've said, no, that doesn't work. I'll just keep being miserable and having a headache.
And then once in a while when I do take it.
Right, when you're forced into taking it, you're like, it does work.
Nobody like wrapped it up in a thing of American cheese and fed it to me.
Well, you know what, Tim? The joke's on you. I put it in those hot dogs. That's how I
That's how I got so sick from them.
I put too much, way too much.
I also put too much mustard on them. Am I a guy that like can't handle a lot of mustard? It was hot mustard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, too much like it was sloppy or too much of like, oh, I overdid it.
Tom, if I'm eating it, it's always going to be sloppy.
Wow. See, I wouldn't want to. Like, I like having, you know, not too much mustard.
I don't want to taste the hot dog.
Really? No, yeah. I like taste.
This has always been. This is partially why I'm.
Why do you like hot dogs then?
Because of all the condiments. I've always said this. About, this is why I'm
sandwich,
a
mustard sandwich.
Well, because you need something in there.
Okay.
And like, I don't like the thought of like eating a hamburger patty or a hot dog without a bun and condiments makes me gag.
Uh huh. Even if it was a veggie one.
No, the veggie, doesn't excite me.
It sounds like, you don't like meat.
Yeah, but I need something in there. Yeah. I need, I need that texture, and I need something a little
hot.
What
about, like, packing peanuts?
Maybe packing peanuts are the way to go, as long as I can heat them up to the right temp.
Yeah, they're better when you heat them up, I think.
Yeah.
Pepsi, despite its early success, went bankrupt twice during the Great Depression. But
you would think things would be rolling for them.
Well, they eventually figured it out. I think it was like a new owner that figured out, you know, how we can beat Coca-Cola, or at least like compete with Coca-Cola. Let's not get crazy. Is we can do that by competing on price. And they came up with I believe at the time, all bottles of soda were 6 ounces, which is probably the appropriate amount of soda for a person to drink. Mm-hmm. Man, can you imagine like in 1890 how good soda must have been compared to everything else?
Because there was cocaine in it.
There was cocaine, but also you think about like how bad probably most other food was.
Yeah.
And then like having a nice cocaine lace. bottle of Coca-Cola. Let's
take the edge off.
Yeah, yeah. I felt great. So they came out with Pepsi in 12-ounce bottles, double the size. And they hired, I think this is in the 30s, maybe. So like after, when was the Depression? Late 20s into the 30s?
The crash was in 29. So
yeah.
Really
okay, early 30s, yeah. They hired the Tune Twisters to make a jingle for them.
The Tune Twisters?
An American jazz vocal trio founded in 1934 as the Freshmen by Andy Love, Robert Bob Wacker, and Jack Lathrop, Lathrop, who also played guitar. And here's how the song went, Tim. Pepsi Cola hits the spot, 12 full ounces. That's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel two. Pepsi to Cola is the drink for you. And it worked. It worked like a charm. I think they had another song about how it was like a dime's worth of cola for just a nickel or something. And it really resonated with cash-strapped Americans. You know, you got, I think it would work today if there was a Coke, you know, a can of Coke was a dollar and a tall boy of Pepsi was a dollar. I go for the tall boy of Pepsi.
That's why Arizona Iced Tea is doing so well still.
Yeah. Look, I mean, that you're joking.
I'm
but
not joking. Why do you think everything I say is always a joke? I was being 100% serious. I can say smart things.
About Arizona Iced Tea.
Yeah.
No, I'm always serious about Arizona Iced Tea.
Yeah, I'm joking about everything else.
But I mean, that was like, you know, when we were kids and you had like you had maybe a few bucks in your pocket. And you wanted to buy a drink at the smoke shop or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, well, an Arizona iced tea is a dollar and it's huge.
Yeah. I was a Snapple guy, Tom. Wow. And I never really wanted more than a couple sips. So I would always like buy a Snapple iced tea or a Snapple apple. Remember Snapple apple?
Yeah. That stuff was good.
And I would take like two sips of it and I wouldn't be thirsty anymore. So I'd just throw it out.
Wow.
It didn't occur to me, like, just carry it.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I thought you were going to say, like, yeah, it was in a bottle so you could close it and yeah, you could have some later.
Yeah, I didn't think that far ahead.
Yeah, wow. I didn't realize you were, as a teenager, like, flexing so hard while all of us were buying Arizona
Ice.
So
you see that as a flex.
Arizona iced tea for $1. You're buying $2 Snapple, taking one sip and throwing it out.
Not more than one sip, maybe two or three. Yeah.
Wow.
Jealous.
Tim, yeah.
Those are my immense wealth.
While you were walking around with $1 in your pocket, I had two. Pepsi, Tim, as you mentioned, until 1904 contained trace amounts of coca leaf extract, yeah, the same source of cocaine.
You're right. I am a bit of a spendthrift, Tom. I'm trying to rein it in.
A spendthrift? What does that mean?
Yeah, you're just spending your money willy-nilly.
But being thrifty is...
I think I got that right.
No, I think a spendthrift is somebody that doesn't spend.
Spendthrift, one who spends money recklessly or wastefully.
Well, then
right.
Why are they the word thrift in there?
Tom, I don't know.
It's confusing.
All I know
everybody.
Is that I used the word in the smart way and you didn't understand it.
Well, and that's why I'm over here drinking an Arizona iced tea and you've got that case of Snapples that you keep just taking one
I'm
sip.
I was thinking this the other day, also because the tax man's come knocking. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to become a real cheapskate.
Oh, okay.
Like you. You're a real cheapskate.
I'm not a real cheapskate.
You are a real cheapskate. And I think I can learn from you. I aspire to be more like you.
I'm cheap about weird things.
I think. Money.
No, but like the kinds of things that if I thought about like how much my time is worth, how much like effort I put into saving a few dollars on something. Like I remember this happening. I come into this realization a long time ago when I was in Thailand and having to like go into the market and buying, you know, like counterfeit goods. Mm-hmm. And you have to negotiate with you have to haggle. And it took like a week before I realized like, oh, I'm not doing the conversion. I'm haggling over like 10 cents now because I just...
So you just like it.
No, I didn't like it. But once I was doing it, then because you had to, then mm-hmm. It was like, well, now I want to win. And then, yeah, finally just realizing, oh, wait a minute. What am I doing? Yeah. What did you say it was? $2? Okay. I won't try and talk you down to 5 cents or whatever. Here you go. $2. But yeah, it had cocaine, but the ingredient was removed. But I mean, it was trace amounts, but I guess you don't need to have that much cocaine to enjoy the effects of cocaine.
I don't know. I don't know about cocaine.
I don't know what the current...
I've never even been in the same room with it.
You've been in the room with it.
Not that I don't know.
Tim, I've planted it on you multiple times to try and get you arrested. Oh, anytime we've been in a room with a cop, I've planted cocaine on you.
I'm such a spendthrift. I'm always bribing cops.
There you go. This is just for you.
Proactively.
This is
just
for
in
you.
Case.
Just keep up the good work, officer.
Just in case somebody tries to frame me for a drug crime.
I know there was some weird deal that Coca-Cola had with the United States government and the DEA, where they were the only ones that were allowed to import coca leaves.
Right.
And they like had to be processed in this one plant that was like very tightly controlled. I don't know if that's still the case. I don't know if they would like still go through that kind of trouble, you know, there they could be like, we'll just figure out some
molecule.
I mean,
they got rid of the sugar for some.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, we can... We'll have our
Turns
boys.
Out these freaking rubes will drink anything.
We'll have our boys in the lab work on it so we don't have to jump through all these hoops just to get, you know, something that probably most people couldn't notice missing from the flavor. I did not realize this, Tim. This is one of the most surprising things to me And I don't know how I didn't hear about this. In 1989, Pepsi struck a deal with the Soviet Union, trading Pepsi for vodka and Soviet warships. For a brief period, Pepsi owned the sixth largest navy in the world.
What was in it for them?
I think they used that for like marketing as a like, or maybe they used that. I don't know. well,
is this some sort of April Fool's Day hoax?
I don't think so. This thing, Tim, this might also be what really got the Cola Wars going. You know?
They started building up.
Yeah, this could have escalated the Cola Wars once they actually had a navy. That must have really made Coca-Cola worry. Yeah. That they were like, this Cold War is going to turn hot.
Well, okay, wait. So there's this that documentary that could have been a 90-minute documentary, but instead was a 5-part Netflix series, right?
Mm-hmm.
About the Pepsi Bucks or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And the kid that tried to, in the you know, the weird financial...
Yeah, it's called like Pepsi owes me a jet or something, yeah, or hey, Pepsi, where's my jet?
Yeah, to get, and like, there was a joke in the commercial where it's like, oh, if you get enough Pepsi points by buying Pepsi, like we'll send you this
points. We'll send
this
you
a fighter jet.
Yeah.
And like their defense, this was the early 90s, when the kid tried to redeem it.
Yeah.
Was like, we obviously don't trade in this kind of stuff. Like you can't. But if they're buying up Soviet warships, I think that is kind of standing to be like, no, you have stuff like that. Of course I'm going to think.
Yeah. Well, and I think that I didn't watch that documentary.
I don't think that came into it.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, the kid or whatever all along was like, nah, if just assume they would give me the equivalent cash value. Like that's
there was some weirdo that was like bankrolling him.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't know.
We gotta find some weirdos to start bankrolling us.
I know.
Frivolous lawsuits. I'd like to start getting involved in some frivolous lawsuits.
I'd like to sue the pants off Richard Marx. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh,
boo.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
But
I had to do the going up show you the going
down. You gotta go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest, I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do,
but
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin, or just not know, kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
don't want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah, what's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know, maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/complete guide.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say your aunt?
And dare you say my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
All right, Tim. One of the things Pepsi's most well known for, advertising.
No.
They've run a series of ads throughout their time.
Yeah, probably like 5 or 6 ads over the years.
Tim, I think they've run thousands, maybe even tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands.
They have that one Tune Twister song.
They have the Tune Twister song, but that was in many ways just the beginning. We talked about the Pepsi points thing. There was another thing called Pepsi Number Fever that happened.
Number Fever?
Oh, yeah.
Is this for nerds? Calculator, protector wearing.
So here's what it was. This happened in the Philippines. And
I heard about this.
They basically had a contest there. Every bottle of Pepsi had a number printed under the cap.
Right. Actually, this was in the documentary. That's right. It's not like I did independent research. It's the one Pepsi thing that I consumed. Yeah.
And they, I guess, like on the news, would read off the winning number for that night. Mm-hmm. And of course, like all these things, you know, it's very tightly controlled. They were putting numbers that was like, they weren't printing 1 to 1,000 over and over, and you had an equal chance to win.
Yeah, there were odds.
Yeah.
The McDonald's Monopoly game. You're not getting a boardwalk constantly.
Exactly. Well, but I think some people don't get that. But anyway, the number.
That's why the house always wins, Tom.
They put a number out, but the problem was every time they gave out a number, there were supposed, or at least like the big, you know, I guess there were like a series of prizes.
Mm-hmm.
But the jackpot numbers, they're only ever supposed to be 2. But this promotion got extended, and I guess there was a communication breakdown, and they did not tell the people at the bottling plant, hey, we're still doing the promotion. Don't start printing bottles with numbers and just putting them out there. I didn't write down what the actual winning number was. But anyway, they put that.
Let's say 86.
They put that number out there. And
yeah, people like stormed the factories and stuff.
Yeah. Thousands rushed to the bottling plants to claim their prizes. And Pepsi in the Philippines initially responded that the number also had to have like a security number on it. So you couldn't just say, oh, the winning number is 123. Look, and you printed 123 on a cap. Mm-hmm. You need like the secret number. So they were basically like, oh, yeah, it was a fuck up. Look, nobody has the security code. But then also adding to the confusion the next morning, the newspaper said the winning number, they had like a different number. So I think that was maybe like they did it again and they're like, this is the number. But everybody felt like, oh, they're trying to gaslight us. They're trying to say that number never won. After an emergency meeting of at 3 a.m., the company offered $18 to holders of mistakenly printed caps as a gesture of goodwill. The offer was accepted by almost 500,000 people at a cost to Pepsi of $9 million.
1/10 of the salary of the CFO that year.
Well, but I think like the prize pool was supposed to be $2 million.
Right.
So they wound up spending a lot more. But
this stuff I never understand.
But that did not quiet everybody. There
Good.
Was more protests. Most protests were peaceful, but a school teacher and a 5-year-old child were killed by a homemade bomb thrown at a Pepsi truck.
Why did you make me say good before right before you say that?
And then 3 Pepsi employees were killed by a grenade thrown into a warehouse. People were pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
you know what I don't know? You ever read these stories where the casinos, like,
oh, they say like, oh, the machine fucked up and we're not gonna,
yeah,
pay
like
you
the
out.
Jackpot, if somebody hits the jackpot and it's like, oh, actually that machine was calibrated wrong,
yeah,
that's only supposed to pay out once every 118 days.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, yeah, who cares?
Yeah, yeah. That, well, that sounds like that's your fault.
Yeah.
Not, yeah.
But like, they're like, yep, we just can't, like, and then they don't pay it out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that to me is just another indication that the house always wins.
And Steve, it's all, Wynn.
It's all, that's why his name is Wynn, because he always wins.
He's, no, it's spelled differently to, yeah, the Y and 2 N's.
Yeah, but, you know, he probably still says it.
Yeah.
But,
I think,
yeah,
he's dead. Is he dead?
He might be dead or close to it.
I mean, they're all so close to death.
Yeah, but they can hang on for 20 years.
He's alive.
Yeah.
Hey,
still
Steve,
winning.
Yeah.
But the 82. House always wins. Casinos are a scam. Stay out of them.
Yeah, you knew that. You're a firm believer.
Yeah.
Of that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking up other. Who's that other guy? Sheldon.
Oh, Sheldon. Yeah, I think he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, he died in 2021.
But he looked like he was dead for 30 years.
Oh, my
years.
God. He looked like he was wearing like the a mask of a dead man on his face, right?
Yeah, he was wearing like blush all the time or something, like, yeah, a weird hair. But yeah, so that happened.
You know who's got the right idea?
Who?
That ghoul, the Marvel Comics ghoul.
Which one?
Perlmutter.
Oh, Ike Perlmutter?
Yeah.
Like, why?
He was not seen in public. There was like,
yeah,
no photograph of him ever.
Wow.
And then he went to the Iron Man
premiere
mm-hmm, but he didn't tell anyone who he was and wore like a fake mustache
and wore
like
an
a
Iron
wig.
Man suit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would have been to draw a little attention, but like, if I was like disgustingly rich and,
yeah,
a piece of shit,
mm-hmm,
I wouldn't be like, let me pose for pictures. I'd be like, yeah, you're never
going
to see me.
Yeah, but that's the majority of super rich people.
Yeah.
I think it's tougher if you like own a casino, because I think the guys that want to own a casino, it's because they want to like walk around.
Well,
you know,
I don't see
like
any evidence of that. Anybody having an ego and wanting to flaunt.
Yeah, and then walk around with like, yeah, beautiful women on their arms,
yeah,
and go like, yeah, I might look like the Crypt Keeper, but guess what? I'm a billionaire.
You know what? These guys are like, ah, I might be disgusting, mm-hmm, but look at these beautiful women who love me because I have money. It's like, cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, you know, they're, to use the term flexing again, Tim, they're flexing on ugly guys who don't have money and can't
do that.
I
don't understand the purpose of flexing.
Yeah, it's just it's a way of getting by. It's a way of passing the time.
I guess.
Flexing.
Yeah.
You know, and emotions are zero.
Try flexing your
brain.
Finger muscles by taking up knitting.
Emotions, Tim, are a zero-sum game. So the worse you make somebody else feel, the happier
true,
you are.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
And for some people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I bet that does work for, yeah, him. But he, you know, comes in after a night of having beautiful women on his arm and goes, ah, all those losers.
Yeah.
They were so mad.
And they're like, well, you know, you can pay me to have sex. Ah, my penis doesn't work. My penis hasn't worked in decades.
Hasn't worked since the 70s. Get out. Tim, other crazy promotions they've done. They once painted a Concorde airplane blue.
Pepsi did that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The Concorde, by the way, is the craziest thing that
I know.
Happened,
it's crazy that it existed and yeah. It doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
It's like one of the rare instances of like, yep, well, things
it was
aren't
too
as...
fast. We had to.
Yeah. Like, well, technology went too far and it was
and
like.
And they called it before, like, right before there was a horrible tragedy.
No,
right?
there was a big crash.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was like.
I thought there was a close call and they were like, oh, okay, shut it down.
There was a crash and like a bunch of other elements were already like hurting it, you know, the economics were hard.
Yeah.
And then the crash happened and people were mad because it would make a sonic boom. Because it would break the sound barrier. So like people that live near airports were upset about it. And then a crash happened. They're like, yeah, all right, you know what? Forget it. But then they also paid a ton of money to have a big Pepsi can stationed.
36 ounces.
36 ounces. No, I think it was like 4 feet long. Stationed outside the Mir space station.
Ah.
They had these astronauts put this can out there.
What the hell is with Pepsi and the Soviets?
They were...
What is going on here?
They were, like, really...
they got red, white, and blue cans.
Yeah.
But red leanings.
In 1972, Tim, Pepsi became the first American consumer product to be manufactured, marketed, and sold in the Soviet Union.
What year?
1972.
What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, no, they went hard. And wow. Like, I think to this day, like, Pepsi's like still very popular in the city. There's a few, I saw the numbers, but I don't think I put them in my notes here. Like a few countries where Pepsi is more popular than Coke.
Mm.
And that's one of them. I know in India, it's number three after Sprite.
Okay.
And
Sprite's the healthy choice.
Yeah, it's clear. And a drink called Thumbs Up.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, I would drink some Thumbs Up.
That I think is a cola, and it used to be Coke, and then like Coke pulled out of the country for some reason.
There's a billion people there.
Yeah. Well, Pepsi saw the opportunity and they said, well, we'll sell Indians
playing third fiddle
to Sprite and Thumbs Up. Yeah. But yeah,
Sprite is a Coca-Cola product.
Yes.
So what are they doing? They we'll keep Sprite, but we'll.
I think they do have Coke there now, yeah. But like, you know, it's just not as ingrained in the culture.
Yeah.
Pepsi was also like a lot of Pepsi's early gains against Coke was that Pepsi marketed towards African Americans when Coke did not.
Right.
And like I was reading through a live and it's like, oh, this is cool. Like they were actually like pretty progressive. Then it got to a point where it got like too successful. And, you know, the president of Pepsi at the time said something awful like, we don't want this to be a product for N-words, at a big convention. So it was like, all right, don't be so popular.
Is this fan fiction you're doing here?
No. Why would it be fan fiction? Why would I come up with this?
No. Like, did that happen? Did he say the N-word at
a
convention?
He literally said something
I thought you were like, and then probably something like this.
No, he literally said something like, well, we don't want people to think this is an N-word drink.
Oh, okay.
So they backed off a little bit because
and then Papa John's used that. Papa John was like, how come he can say it?
Yeah, exactly. But they've always tried to kind of be the underdog. They've always marketed themselves as such, the underdog to Coca-Cola. I am surprised that
Americans love an underdog story.
It's true.
That's not really true. We like Rudy.
Which is an underdog story, right?
And now it's just like, who's the biggest, shittiest guy? We like him now.
Now we like an overdog story. Yeah. I didn't know about this canceled Madonna commercial. Did you know about this?
No, but cancel culture strikes again, huh?
Timmy, you know about
strikes
this?
Strikes the material girl, huh?
Even though, quote, it may go down as one of the most expensive advertising blunders ever by Entertainment Tonight host John Tesh. That's how he reported at the time.
Okay. I thought he had something to do with the commercial.
No. He was just doing his job.
Madonna
as a reporter.
Was like,
so they did
being risque with a Pepsi can or something.
No, so this was I don't think I really realized that the Cola Wars that Billy Joel was referring to.
The rock and roller Cola Wars that he couldn't even freaking take anymore.
Yeah, that he was warning us about, that the reason why they were rock and roller Cola War, it's hard to say, rock and rolla. I have to think of Guy Ritchie's.
No, Rock and Roller Cola Wars.
Rock and Rolla.
No, he doesn't say Rolla.
I'm making a new version.
It is. He does say Suez. Well, no, I always used to think he was saying Trouble in the Sewers.
And you're like, he's talking about the Ninja Turtles.
Probably. But I thought he was just saying sewers cool. And I was like, I should start saying sewer like that.
Hey, you want to go to the Suez?
I didn't really have an opportunity to say sewer that up.
Yeah. Like, hey, you guys like the Ninja Turtles. They live in the Suez.
Suez.
So the reason why he referred to them as Rock and Roller Cola Wars was because that's who is being drafted on the front lines by both these
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Had to go in a hyperbaric chamber because he got burned on the set of that.
Yeah. But they were going crazy with Ray Charles later was a Pepsi.
All these rock and rollers.
Look, there was like a big list. Oh, the big one that Coke had at the time.
The rookie of the year.
The big one Coke had, Tim, was Paula Abdul.
Mm.
Yeah, and that was some vicious competition to deal with.
So what was the Madonna?
So the Madonna thing
that
was
John Tesh reported to be such a disaster.
They signed a $5 million deal with Madonna. And part of that, and like, you know, they were sponsoring her world tour. And part of it was that they teased and then showed. And it was apparently the first time this had ever happened. A Madonna's Like a Prayer premiered as a Pepsi, as a 2-minute Pepsi commercial.
It's a good, that's a good song.
It's my favorite Madonna song. But they
because
like.
Because of the Pepsi connection.
Yeah, ever since I learned. No, but like literally, I saw one of the commercials where they show like, you know, some kind of native person.
What are you talking about?
I couldn't tell
Say
where.
Say this again. Just rephrase that in a way that sounds.
So somebody native to a place. What would you call that?
What in what context?
Couldn't tell because it was like grainy. I couldn't tell what nationality this person was.
Okay.
But it was like, so I couldn't tell if it was like, oh, this is like somebody on the plains of Africa or the deserts of Australia.
Right. Okay. Sorry, explain it. Sorry.
I'm trying to think of what the word indigenous, an indigenous person.
Okay.
But of unknown origin.
Okay.
But they show them like walking down a dusty road towards like, you know, some little building with like a Pepsi thing. And it's like, wherever you are, the idea being like, this person's from like a tribe that's out of touch with modern society.
But Pepsi is there.
But there's no, but even they have to find a TV to be there for the big Madonna commercial.
Oh, okay.
So that was the teaser commercial. Everybody's got to be there. And then they did the commercial. It was a 2-minute Pepsi commercial that started with like Madonna drinking a Pepsi, turn on the TV. She like turns into a little girl. And then there's, it's not the video. It's a Pepsi video for Like a Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wraps up and that's it. The next day, the official video for Like a Prayer came out, mm-hmm. which was extremely controversial because it depicted a black Jesus that Madonna kisses at some point.
She's always kissing someone.
It's a Madonna video. And like shit got so real that Pope John Paul II like put out a statement basically saying like boycott all this,
right?
Because this is anti-Catholic. Pepsi's anti-Catholic. So Pepsi had to like immediately distance themselves.
And Tesh pounced on it.
Yeah, Tesh pounced on it, of course. And they, you know, dropped the ad campaign. And I think it was only like last year, Madonna posted it to Instagram and with like Pepsi's blessing. And she's like, finally, after so many years, this can be shown and blah, blah, blah. And people were kind of like, all right, this isn't very brave of Pepsi to be doing like 36 years after the fact. And also it was, you know, it did air. People did. She
put. Yeah, but back then when something aired.
Oh, was... yeah. But I'm just saying now you can. I found it on YouTube. No problem.
Yeah.
But when she posted, it was like for the first time ever, people would be able to see.
Well, Madonna likes hyperbole. Tom.
She got. Well, it didn't. Hey, it didn't. It was soda news that didn't make my radar. So. She isn't couldn't it, have been that successful.
Is it Madonna? Like, she's doing this tour now.
Are you going to say, is it Madonna? Is she the one with the cone boobs?
that's all I know her from.
And you're not even sure if that's her.
Isn't she the lady? No, so like, when was...
Like this guy hasn't poured over Madonna's sex cover to cover?
Well, I know her from that. I thought she was just an author, a published author. I didn't know she was a musician this whole time.
Finally, somebody wrote the book on sex.
So she's doing her, like, career retrospective tour right now.
Yeah, but she's done. I mean, that I feel like that's, like, all of her tours over the
No, this is, like,
years.
A real, like, she's, okay. Like it goes, like... semi-chronologically, and she like,
but like, do you ever call her Madge when you're talking
I call
about
her the material mom.
Oh, okay. She's a material grandmom now, I think, right?
Did Lords have a child of her own?
I mean, she had like a couple of adopted kids too. I think she is a grandmother.
Okay, well, hey, congratulations to Madonna,
the material grandmom.
Yeah,
unless she's not
grand girl. She, by the way, she's taking the stage at like 10:30 p.m.
That's too late.
On like, she's probably know, like a Wednesday night.
Yeah, she's probably up for the next day at that point. You know, old people get up real early.
Yeah, old people do get up early. So like, I'm thinking about like, she's like past her prime. Not
how
like,
dare you,
but like. Career-wise, like, she tries to be shocking and stuff.
Yeah,
and it's just like
it's just kind of sad.
Yeah, like, you were always reinventing yourself, and now it's just like, you're not, just not relevant at some point. Yeah. Like, it's okay.
That's, look, Madonna, at some point, Logan Paul's running laps around you, yeah. Being more shocking.
Look, Logan Paul's always gonna, is always gonna be two steps ahead of you. And that's something you just gotta, I have to contend with that as well. But like, remember
that
when
little
she,
rascal's been two steps ahead of us for years.
When was her first like 84?
Yeah,
like
I was
she
gonna
hit
say
the 84. Scene, like 83, 84. Mm-hmm. Remember when she went on the Letterman show in 93? She went on like a late show with David Letterman, and like she kept cursing.
Yeah,
and like they had to bleep her, and then like it was like a big news story.
Yeah,
like in the way that it would like blow up on social media now.
Yeah,
or
it was
whatever.
The front page of every New York newspaper.
Yeah, and I was like, at that point, like she was like an elder statesman, and like it's like she was like 10 years on the scene. know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she was probably in her early 30s.
Yeah, it's just so weird to me, like thinking about like somebody who. Hit the pop scene on like in like 2014 if they like made news for being shocking.
Yeah,
like you'd
10
be like
years
oh,
later.
Yeah, like oh, okay, but like it just seemed to me at the time like because I was born in 82 that like Madonna was always a famous person.
Yeah, oh
it was
yeah,
like
yeah.
Oh, and she's gone off the deep end. She's cursing at David. She's saying the F word on
she's
CBS.
She's impossibly old, so of course that was bound to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what my point was.
Yeah, well, that makes two of us.
They presented. She presented the Video of the Year award at the VMAs that year. And the big joke
was that when she kissed Britney and
no,
that
was this was like 15 years before. Oh, okay, or like 10 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, no, to introduce the award, the video of the year, Madonna, who like Video Vanguard award winner,
right,
Madonna's coming.
And royalty. Vanguard royalty.
Who walks her to the stage? But David Letterman. Right after all this controversy.
Right when you thought, boy, he's probably so mad at her for cursing on his television show.
And he made a funny joke. He's like, I'll be waiting in the car. And then he walked out and she did
that,
the thing.
That is pretty funny.
But then they interviewed her and they were like, why did you have
David Letterman?
And she's like, well, I called him to ask him if he'd do that. And I said, hey, Dave, would you like to bury the hatchet? And he said, what hatchet?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he didn't care.
It's one of those things that I think I saw that on MTV's Week in Rock, and I think I saw the rerun of that five times when I was like 11 years old.
A permanent and, like, space
that's
in your head.
All I think about all the time. It's just like Madonna being like, David Letterman, yay, he had to tell me this is all just showbiz.
Yeah.
We're all friends here.
Yeah.
And then had a profound effect on the way that I treat my relationships now as a fully grown man.
Yeah. It's surprising that Madonna didn't know that was how showbiz worked. You know, she had already been in the business for a while, but. Yeah,
well, not that long, as we had just discussed.
Well, you said it was like 10 years.
10 years is
I think that's long enough to know, hey, look, people just want to be entertained.
Hey, I just want to be entertained. Well, should we talk about the Pepsi Challenge?
I was going to say, let me entertain you with the Pepsi Challenge.
Or should we put this behind the paywall?
No, I don't think this is worth putting behind a paywall, Tim. Even though I did have to dish out some cash to get all this soda.
Yeah, I'm sure you put it on the credit card.
No, I didn't. I put it on my personal account.
Wow. Tim,
I have procured a bottle of Coca-Cola.
Bottle of red.
A can. Tim, and I had to get a bottle of Coca-Cola because they didn't have any cans. It was so popular.
Wow. We talk about this? You're a Coca-Cola man, not a Pepsi man.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I'm a Coke Zero Sugar guy. That's my Coke of choice.
But that wasn't always your Coke of
choice. No.
Tom, 16 years old, what was your cola of choice?
Probably just like whatever the like brightest colored
you
thing was.
You seem like I would peg you for a Pepsi man.
I mean, I probably did. You know what? I never bought Coke. Like when
you like to portray yourself as an underdog.
Yeah. And when I was in college, or not college, when I was in high school, like if I was paying money to buy my own drink, I was getting something weird, you know? I wasn't going to get plain old.
I was drinking Jolt Cola. Remember when they brought Jolt Cola back?
Yeah, I wasn't going to buy like a Coke or a Pepsi. That was, you know, boring. I would get
you're an iconoclast.
I would get a Mountain Dew Code Red or something.
What was
like that
Gen X soda that they made? And Cola. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you getting that? Because you were
I don't remember seeing it in the store. Yeah. Or if I did, I didn't know what it was. I didn't buy it. Mm-hmm. But I think when I was younger, maybe I did veer more towards Pepsi.
Okay. That tracks.
They were running more promotions. I mean, I remember being big into Pepsi. Remember when they would give you an iTunes code with every cap for like a summer?
No.
Yeah.
I have never been a soda guy.
Wow.
I don't like soda.
Explain a lot.
What does that explain?
You're an uninteresting person.
Daniel Klaus.
Yeah, he did the art. All right, so let's do this Pepsi challenge, Tim. Tim, do you think you will be able to do a blind taste test and be able to tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so should you even do it?
Yeah.
Okay. How should we go about doing this?
Okay. You...
I don't know why. We did discuss this beforehand, but not really.
Let's leave the diet out of it here.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I have Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke.
Yeah, you got Pepsi Classic and Coke Classic.
Okay. Why don't... Yeah, you go ahead. I'm gonna close my eyes now. Okay. And you're going to, I had to open them for a second because for some reason I thought I had drifted very far away from the microphone in the 3 seconds of closing my eyes.
I'm opening the can of Coke.
Okay.
Now the can of Pepsi. And the bottle of Coke.
Right. And then you're pouring them Coke in the glass in and you have to remember which glass is which.
Yeah, I'm not an idiot, Tom. Oh, I have to remember. How will I ever remember?
Tim, I think I'd bet my life that I'll be able to tell the difference.
All right, so I can I catch you in a glue trap and stomp you to death if you get this
wrong? Tim, you have permission to catch me in a glue trap and stomp me to death if I'm wrong about this. Now, I did read that people said that the reason why Pepsi would win more than Coke is that Pepsi tastes sweeter on the first sip, but that they... I think like Harvard or something repeated the test, but let people drink a whole can or at least like a glass of it before they gave their answer. And in that case, people did like Coke more.
So this was, I always thought the Pepsi challenge was, can you identify which one is Pepsi?
It was just, which do you like more?
Right.
And then if you liked Pepsi more, you won. And if you didn't, you lost?
Yeah, I don't know. I got the card either way. I don't think they told me if I won or lost. Or I said, like, I prefer this one. And they were like, that was Pepsi.
You know, the more you talk about this, Tim, I think I do remember, like, the next day at school or 2 days later over the weekend hearing about this and being, like, devastated that I missed out on getting a Pepsi card.
Because I got the card, man.
Yeah.
I signed, you know. Yeah.
What even was the... It got you discounts or something?
Yeah, you could do something with it.
I just remember as a kid, it was like an Amex Black card. That was like, that's my entrance into higher society.
I mean, it was the one thing in my wallet.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, I need something to carry around.
I had
around.
Like my lunch money and the Pepsi
right, just
card.
In case you got pulled over.
All right, Tom?
All right. You're gonna give,
here's number one.
You remember which one's which.
Yeah, Tom. Okay. Once again, I'm not an idiot. I think I remember.
Yeah. You just look back to see.
This is number one. I pissed in it.
I believe that's Pepsi, but let me try the other one to know for sure. See, here's number two.
Number two, he's taking a sip.
Now I'm just drinking them.
Yeah, it's good. It's kind of sugar water.
Yeah, number one's Pepsi, number two's Coke, right?
We'll reveal all behind the paywall.
No, tell me if I'm right or not.
Oh, it's killing you.
What? Don't reveal it behind the pay. People, Tim, nobody's going to pay $5 to find out if I was right about the difference in taste between Coke and Pepsi.
I'll tell you something, Tom. You won the Pepsi challenge, but you don't get a card to put in your wallet.
Oh, then what's the point even?
I know.
But I was right.
But you won't get stomped to death in a bag. So well, I guess that's...
Thank God for small graces.
Should I try?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Should you? Okay. Yeah. Give me the sources.
Here's the Coke and Pepsi.
Maybe while
Britney Spears. Remember Generation Next, Tom?
Yeah, of course I remember Generation Next. I remember trying to steal a life-size cutout of Britney Spears from a 7-Eleven during that. Because it was a very sexy...
And how did that go?
I think the guy was like, hey, what are you doing? And I stopped. You know, but I was like dumb teenager or whatever. That was like, what could possibly happen to me?
Being
unaware of the fact that it's like, yeah, because you're white. That's why nothing too bad will happen to you.
All right. I'm going to close my eyes.
Okay.
The glasses are over here.
Oh, can you hand me the glasses at least? Can you do the plugs while I'm pouring these, maybe?
All right, Tom.
Close your eyes. See if you can remember them.
The show is called The Complete Guide to Everything.
All right, this one's the Pepsi.
You can learn. Oh, no, they're spitting it.
No, that was the sound of me opening the bottle.
You can find more at tcgte.com. You can have find links to our Discord Go, hey, thanks to the folks at the on the Discord. They made this episode possible. I would look up their names, but like one of them's called Petey.
Oh, all the names of all the people on the Discord?
The ones that were talking about this. I don't remember. What am I going to scroll back, find the right channel?
All right. Tim.
Everybody, good job. The Reddit is also there. I declined an opportunity to invest in the Reddit IPO.
Right. That did not come from our listeners.
This is number one. Which one is this, Coke or Pepsi?
I think I might have forgotten already, but go ahead. Let's see what you think. Do you have a guess as to which one it is?
No, because
I don't think you. Yeah, I don't think you're familiar.
I don't have
enough
base. But
all right.
Like,
well, then for you, even I'd be curious. Which one do you like more?
I'll tell you. I'll get a Coca-Cola if I'm gonna get a.
Well, of course, you're a red blooded American.
Okay, that's number one.
Nobody's ever said is Coca-Cola all right. We don't have Pepsi. Are you going to take a drink of beer to...
It's a palate cleanser, yeah.
Clean your palate, cleanse your palate.
Number two?
Mm-hmm.
Number two is the Coke. Nope, number two is the Pepsi. Number one is the Coke.
Which do you like better?
I got to be honest, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
They taste exactly the same to me. Did you pull a prank on me?
No, I didn't pull a prank. And you're right. Your second guess was right.
Yeah, coconut. Yeah.
And you can taste it comparing the two, right? That like the Pepsi is a little sweeter at first.
Yeah.
But then I feel like even just in the second sip, you realize like, oh yeah, I'd rather it not be as sweet.
I mean, I don't really have a preference if I'm being honest.
Well, you're a liar. You're
they're close enough that like I am impressed by your discerning taste, I guess, and like your preference. But like I'm just like, yeah, they're pretty much replacement.
They taste a lot closer than I would have imagined, I think.
Right. I think you probably had a more refined palate for this fucking sugar water when you were 12 years old.
How can I turn this into something? How can I become a sommelier of sodas or something?
I mean, I bet you could.
I need to just find or like a... I need to like be a taster for like a really rich guy who people are always trying to give Pepsi to or something. And I'll be the one, excuse me, I try it before His Royal Highness does.
So you just want to skim people's soda off the top?
Well, it's just he can't drink. He's allergic to Pepsi.
The king?
The king. Or it's just some kind of nobility.
So you just need to find somebody that's allergic to one of these?
Yeah, but really likes the other one.
Right.
And then I can be the official.
So that's all you need to find?
That's all I need to find.
Okay.
And I think once I approach...
Why can't they just... If a king is allergic to Pepsi but loves Coca-Cola...
Yeah.
I think they would just buy Coca-Cola and be like, there's no Pepsi allowed in the kingdom.
People are always trying to kill him. He's at war. At the time.
Well, this seems like a good career path for you, Tim. Just identifying that.
I didn't say it would be safe, Tim. I'll also be in danger because, like I said, at this time, the country's also at war.
Right. You can follow me on social media at Your Pal Tim.
You can follow me at Tom Reynolds.
And, hey, sign up for our Patreon. You won't get the results of the Pepsi challenge there.
We might repeat them again.
But you will get...
If you miss them...
Yeah.
Sign up.
Don't bother rewinding. Just go to patreon.com/complete guide. Mm-hmm. Sign up. You get a weekly episode of Books, the podcast. It's a full length podcast, just like this one.
Mm-hmm. Every week. I feel like some people don't know it's full length.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's fuller length than this.
Yeah. It usually is. And guess what? We record it after this.
Mm-hmm.
So like we have a few beers, we let our hair down, we say some things that we wouldn't say on here.
We each have a can of Coke, we have a can of Pepsi.
Yeah.
We get hyper.
We guess. We do the Pepsi challenge every single week.
We're just burping through the whole thing.
Yeah, we spend the first 45 minutes of every hour-long episode doing the Pepsi challenge every week.
I'll tell you what. Like, I was talking recently about... You remember when we went to the Jameson distillery?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I still have it up on my wall, I think.
You got chosen to like do the Jameson challenge.
Yeah. Against, I think it was Johnny Walker Red, because that was the most popular scotch in the world, and Jack Daniels, which is the most popular whiskey in America, at least, probably, but maybe the world too.
Right.
And I do remember thinking it was interesting because it was like, yeah, I'm never going to be at the bar and order three different brands of whiskey so I can taste them against each other.
In the matchless days, they would have done that for you.
If I had asked, sure.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to taste them next to each other. And I mean, you had to say the Jameson tasted the best to get the reward, but it genuinely did. I mean, I always like Jameson more, but like tasting them next to each other, it was like, oh yeah. And they would explain why, like what the difference, oh, it's because they use corn for Jack Daniels, but we use, I don't know, oats
or
something.
You didn't learn a goddamn thing. You keep the diploma drinking on your wall. Yeah. Did we have a show that night?
Probably.
Yeah, we were only in Dublin for like 16 hours, right?
Yeah, so we probably had a show later that night.
Mm-hmm.
But I pulled it together.
You did a great job, Tom. I don't recall any of our Ireland shows ever going well.
Nah, they went well.
Remember that one that was in like that mall?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one didn't go that well.
Because like there was an old lady in the front row.
Yeah.
And like a guy was like, I bring my grandma to shows once in a while. I've never heard of this show and she's never heard of it either.
Yeah. But we're going to sit in the front row and make eye contact with you the whole time.
And we got there and they didn't have a sound system, but like it wound up not being an issue because the place was so small.
Yeah. I do remember that it was an old man and his granddaughter, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I do remember, like, the old man having, like, a very long talk with me afterwards about, like, something he misheard from the show. That he was like, you know, I was in the Navy. I heard you were in the Navy from the show and just started talking. And I was like, you know what, man? I'm going to sit here and listen to it because you just sat and listened to me for an hour.
Talk about teenagers. The subject of the show is teenagers.
Yeah. But yeah, that's
patreon.com/complete guide.
You said that like somebody just pulled a gun on you.
we
see the rest of it.
Oh, we do the books the podcast every week.
Oh yeah, where are we starting this
week?
We're
starting Big Trouble by Dave Barry. Another thing that the kids were talking about on the Discord.
Yeah.
And Tom, we're doing it because we did the Chuck Klosterman book about the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like that was a little too like academic.
Yeah.
Like he was trying to be a little too high minded about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good snapshot of like what, like this book was published in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
It was written by Dave Barry, a boomer humorist who was like trying to like comment on like kids in the 90s and like this really captured it. Reading this book feels like the 90s.
Wow.
You know, and and then there's a star-studded movie that came out that got buried for interesting reasons, like
post 9/11, right?
So did that? What was the last book we did? We did freaking.
We did Way of the Wolf, man.
Way of the Wolf, Jordan Belfort. But we've done the classics, Wuthering Heights. Get in there. Go in and listen.
If you like books,
we've covered a book that you like.
Yeah.
We've kind of read it.
Patreon.com/complete guide. Tim, has this episode swayed you in any way to become more likely to order a Pepsi or buy a Pepsi somewhere?
Again, I'm agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Oh, I will say this. I prefer Diet Pepsi to Diet Coke.
Okay. But you make a distinction between Diet Coke and Coke Zero Sugar.
Oh, yeah. Big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a huge difference.
Because
Coke Zero tastes more like regular Coke.
But they all kind of taste the same.
Nah, these taste. The Coke Zero is the best one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. They're all replacement level for each other in my mind.
Well, you're never going to get the Pepsi endorsement with that kind of attitude.
I bet I will.
I bet you will, too, and your hair will get caught on fire.
Cool. Damn it. That worked out well for him.
No, he died. Not from that, but later.
Yeah, I'll just stay away from Dr. Conrad Murray.
You can't.
I've been doing
you
that.
No, you
my
can't.
Whole life.
You've been trying to reach out to him.
A few steps ahead of the doctor.
Can you start prescribing me milk at night?
What was it? Fentanyl that he was giving him?
Propofenol, something like that. It's called. Yeah. But yeah, something used mostly for like anesthesia, I believe.
Yeah.
Or you know, if you're just having a little trouble sleeping.
That would have been a good tour, I think.
I think it would have been. This is it.
It was it.
Yeah, except before.
You ever watch that documentary?
Yeah, it was interesting. Oh, I thought it was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't shot to be a documentary.
No,
like, so they kind of had to just put together what they had.
It felt like a real cash grab because it was like, hey, here's a performance of Smooth Criminal, and it's him like walking around the stage being like, and then I'll do a dance over here, and then I'll do a dance over here.
You know what?
Of course, I'm too weak to do any of this now.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't sleeping well.
Yeah.
That's why they had to give him that.
He was sleeping great.
All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.